So good morning. Today we gather to explore a brutal truth. Even good people, like all of us, can do terrible things when frustration clouds our compassion. When we encounter suffering that feels too vast to heal, or pain that echoes in our fears, we sometimes pull away. We build walls where bridges are needed. Nowhere is that more visible than in how we as a society respond to homelessness in the city of San Jose. We've all felt it, that flicker of frustration when we see a tent under an overpass, or when someone asks for help for the 10th time. We might cross the street to avoid eye contact. We might support policies that clean up our streets without addressing root causes. We might whisper, "Why don't they just get a job?" Or, "They're a danger to our community." These reactions don't make us monsters. They make us human. But they also fracture our shared humanity. When we reduce a person to a problem, we do a terrible thing. We erase their story. We forget that the man sleeping in a doorway once built homes for others. We ignore that the woman holding a sign might be fleeing violence. We overlook the veteran, the student, the artist, the elder. Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker says, "When we dehumanize others, we dehumanize ourselves." To bring each other back from the brink, we must start seeing the humanity of those we're most tempted to ignore. As the San Jose City Council recently voted to offer 3 attempts at housing for members of our community who are now living out of doors before they are arrested, it's important to recognize the people who proposed the solution are not devoid of humanity. They were not interested in causing harm to others. They were fearful and frustrated. And that turned out to be just as bad as harmful and disinterested. Consider that approximately 70% of our unhoused community either work or are looking for work. Most of them pay taxes, and many of them love their communities. Yet, many cases of systematic inequities in housing and employment left them without a home. Our unhoused situation more reflects generational poverty, high housing costs, lost jobs, racial bias, and policies that fail the most vulnerable than the many issues we generally equate with homelessness. I'd like to share a personal story. It's a story about my wife and myself and one of our neighbors. We came to know and love him. Forgive me. Bring it back a moment. We lived across the street from a park where one of our neighbors, a veteran, had made his home. He had spent the last couple of years living in the park after losing his home when his mother passed. My wife and I tried many times to encourage him to accept housing through the VA, telling him he would be safer there, that the park was a dangerous place to live. But he always responded as he patted our dog, Lucy, who loved him too. This community was the only home he knew. He couldn't bear to go far from the place where he had roots and memories. He was our neighbor in the truest sense of the word. When we barbecued, we took him a plate. When Christmas came, my wife bought him socks and boots, and then she went over and put them on his unwashed feet on that Christmas morning. He passed a few weeks later, unexpectedly. But in those last few weeks of his life, he felt the love of his neighbors. He passed knowing that someone loved him and cared for him. What we gave him, we also received. Excuse me. What we got was a memory of loving a neighbor as he was. He created no harm for us, and we celebrated our relationship with him and the love that we shared and the benefit that it generated for the universe. Excuse me. When good people, like all of us, see suffering, sometimes our first instinct is to look away, to build walls, to insist on solutions that make us feel safer and more comfortable. But our neighbor reminded us, home is not just a place, but a web of belonging. Safety is not just about walls and locks, but about knowing you are seen and loved. We should step back from the edge of the abyss of self-righteousness and share the capacity for love within each of us. When we see our unhoused neighbors, we must look beyond the surface. We must see the person, the veteran, the friend, the human being with a story and a name. We must remember that any of us could find ourselves in a similar place with just a few turns of fate. And we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a neighbor? What does it mean to love someone as they are, not as we wish them to be? Our neighbor taught us that love is not about fixing or saving, but about showing up. It is about barbecues and boots and socks and care and presence and dignity. When we center our relationship on love, we heal not just the other, but we heal ourselves too. We become more human, more connected, and more alive. Let's remember, when good people do terrible things, when we turn away, when we judge, when we forget, it is our responsibility as a community to bring each other back, to see the humanity in those who suffer, and to let that humanity reflect back on us, to love our neighbors, ourselves, and in doing so, to create a world where no one is left to die to stay here. May we have the courage to love fiercely, even when it's hard. May we remember the gifts we receive when we give. And may we build a world where everyone has a place at the table and a neighbor to call them home. Friends, our faith calls us not to perfection, but to perpetual return. When we wander to the brink of indifference, we must bring each other back, not with shame, but with grace. The unhoused are not them, they are us. In their eyes, we see our own reflection, fragile, worthy, and deeply interconnected. May we have the courage to see the face of the divine in those society discards. May we turn frustration into fierce love. And may we build a world where no one dies to stay here. Amen.